Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So we are continuing our class, our series on tefillah, on unique dilemmas, interesting dilemmas in tefillah. And today we're going to talk about the permissibility or the impermissibility of another type of addition into the tefillah. Last week, if you recall, we discussed two types of additions. One addition was we talked about the permissibility of someone saying that God's mercy extends to the birds. And we gave a whole number of reasons why that was problematic. And the second the type of addition that we talked about was adding praise to the already existing praise in the Amidah. Right at the beginning of the Amidah, we say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, VaHanora, and then we said, what if someone wants to add? They want to continue to praise God even more, which at first glance seems like a perfectly wonderful thing to do. But we did mention that there was some potentially theologically problematic aspects of such a thing. Now, today we move on to a different type of addition, a questionable addition in the tefillah. And our starting point is the Gemara in Masechet Brachot on Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph, page 34a. And you have a photocopy of it in front of you. And it's where the arrow is in the right column of the photocopy that you have. The Gemara says as follows. Everyone have the citation there? Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Lo'olam al yishal adam tzurachav lo b'shalosh rishonot v'lo b'shalosh acharonot. It'd be helpful if we had a sitter here. Okay, so as we were saying, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo'olam al yishal adam tzurachav lo b'shalosh rishonot v'lo b'shalosh achronot. A person should never petition God, should not petition God for the fulfillment of their needs, neither during the recitation of the first three blessings of the Shemona Esrei, nor during the recitation of the last three blessings. Let's just look at what those blessings are in the Siddur to make sure we know what we're talking about. We have on page 109 that first bracha, which is we talk about the patriarchs, where it ends at the bottom of that page, 109, Magen Avraham, Shield of Abraham. That's number one. Then we have the bracha of Givurot, of God's might, divine might, and it ends on the bottom of that paragraph with Baruch Atah Hashem Michayei HaMetim, who revives the dead. And then the third that's talking about is Kiddushat Hashem, holiness, and that's on the top of page 115, 114, and 115. Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. Blessed are you, God. Are you, Lord, the Holy God. So we're not supposed to add additional requests. We're not supposed to add requests, the Gemara says, in those three brachot, nor are we supposed to make requests in the final three brachot of the davening, and those are praise, thanksgiving. On page 128 and 129, we start with hoda'ah, with thanksgiving, with modim. And then we move on to page 131, V'chol HaChayim, on the bottom of the page, Baruch Atah Hashem HaTov Shimcha Ulechane Elohodot. And then on the bottom of 133, HaMevarech Et Amo Yisrael Bashalom. Okay, so the final three brachot, we're not supposed to add praise, and the first three brachot we're not supposed to add praise. So then the Gemara explains why that is the case. The Gemara says, "D'amar Rabbi Chanina, ela be'emtzot." I'm sorry, but rather one should only add their additional requests in the middle brachot. D'amar Rabbi Chanina said, Rishonot domele eved shemisader shevach lifnei rabo. When we are reciting the first blessings, we are like a servant who stands before their master declaring words of praise. That's what we start off the Amidah with. Emtzaiyot domele evet shemivakesh pras merabo, and the middle brachot, that's when we are like a servant requesting an allotment from his master. The achronot, and the ones at the end, domele eved shekibel pras merabo, it's like a servant who has already received his allotment from the master. The niftar veholechlo, and then is leaving by expressing, and then expresses some gratitude. So that's the breakdown of the tefillah, and that is what the Gemara says. We're not supposed to make the requests in the first three brachot or in the last three brachot. I want to show you that this Gemara has been codified by the Rambam, but we're also going to raise a question, which once we do, everyone will realize is a very familiar one. If you turn to the page 2 of the source book, we have the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. The Rambam says in, this is chapter 1, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, chapter 1, Halacha, law number 4. Kevan Shegalu Yisrael, the Rambam here in this, at the beginning of his laws of prayer, starts to lay out when, under what circumstances did the tefillah that we have develop. Right, that our tefillah, a set prayer with the Amidah, it's on page 2. The pages are numbered on the bottom. Kevan shegalu Yisrael mimei Nebuchadnezzar harasha. When Israel was exiled in the time of the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, nitarvu bifaras v'yavan ushar haumot. So they were dispersed in Persia and in Greece and other nations. V'noldu lahem banim ba'artzot hagoyim. And children were born to them in these foreign countries. Votana banim nitbalbalu sfatam, and their language was confused. I mean, they didn't speak Hebrew. Or, I guess that's what he's saying. Vaitas sfat kol echad v'echad mu'revet milushanot harbeit. Not only that, there was a concoction of many languages that people were speaking. V'kevan she'aya midaber enu yachol ladaber kol tzarcho b'lashon achat. The person was unable to be eloquent in just one language. V'kevan Ella b'shibush, rather it was a mixture. Shneimaru v'nehem chatsi medaber ashdodit, etc. Right, some of them spoke this language and another language, and they didn't speak the Jewish language. Einam makirim levad yehudit ulchilshon am va'am, and they did not know how to speak the Jewish language. Rather, they would speak according to the language of the various people. Umifnei, turn to page 3. Ze. And therefore, when one davened, they didn't have the ability; they had limited ability to make requests from God in Hebrew, unless another language was mixed in with it. So, when Ezra and his court, his court of law, saw this, recognized this. Amdu v'titnu lahem shmona esrei brachot al haseder. That's when the Amidah was established. Up until then, everyone was able to daven sort of on their own. But there came a point when people couldn't do it anymore in Hebrew. And now the Rambam gives us the breakdown. Shalosh rishonot shevach l'Hashem. The first three blessings are praise of Hashem. The shalosh acharonot, the last three blessings are thanksgiving. The emtzaiyot, and the ones in the middle, yesh bahen she'elat kol hadivarim shehein kimo avot l'kol cheftze ish v'ish u'l'tzarchei atzibur. The intermediate blessings contain requests for all those things. They serve as general categories for the desires of each and every person and the needs of the whole community. So the Gemara says it, the Rambam says that that's how we have it. However, the Gemara, as we noted, also said that you're not allowed to add requests in the first three brachot, and you're not allowed to add requests in the last three brachot. The problem is that we do that anyway. Right? First, let's see the Rambam, and then we'll see it in our own Siddur. On page 4, halacha number 3. This is chapter 6, halacha number 3 in the Rambam's Laws of Tefillah. We'll start with let's start with law number two. One is praying with the congregation, one should not lengthen this prayer excessively. However, he may do so when he's praying alone. If after you daven, you want to add extra things, even like the confessional of Yom Kippurim, you can. And even if you want to add additional things in the middle brachot, you can. That already is completely in line with the Gemara. Okay? Ketzad, how does that work? Hayalo cholet, if a person has a, if one has a sick person, one knows that someone is sick. Mevakesh alav rachamim bebirkat cholim kefit sachot l'shono. You can say a special additional request for that poor, for that sick person in accordance with one's eloquence.
Sachot means?
The clarity of, or the eloquence of. If one requires sustenance, then he should add a supplication in the blessing for material prosperity. And you could do that in all of them. And one is also allowed to make any additional request of any topic, of any subject, of any need in Shomea Tefillah. Avalo Yishal. And the Rambam reiterates it one more time. We do not make these requests. If you need parnasa, you don't ask during the time when you're praising Hashem, nor do you ask during the time when you're thanking Hashem. If you need a livelihood or whatever the need is, you could only ask it during those middle three brachot. Okay, so just one more thing for us to get to the heart of the matter, which is on page 6. Well, before we do that, let's just analyze why this is so. Why is this the halacha? Why are we not allowed to add requests during the first three or during the last brachot of the Amidah? Why not? I'm talking to God anyway. Right? In human conversation, in human interaction, we sort of go from one to the other. We flow back and forth in our conversation. We don't have these strict constructions of the type of conversation that we have. Why do I need to do that in the Amidah? Dov?
If I say, I'm going to give you praise. So we had a great report card, but this wasn't so good, and I still need that. You didn't do that. It's like taking away from the praise and from the thanks. Thank you very much, but you could have given me this, you could have given me that.
Uh-huh. Okay,
it's
nice.
Diluted.
So it dilutes the praise and request because it adds the word but. And when we are engaged in praising Hashem or in thanking Hashem, and maybe the same is true for people, we should learn from that about the way we talk to people also, is we should be focused on what we're trying to do. And I think I was going to suggest something along the same lines, which is when we're praising Hashem, that's such an important thing that we do, and it's so important for us to recognize the good that Hashem has given us, that we should be solely focused on that, especially considering the fact that our tradition gives us leeway to do something else later, namely to ask for those things that we feel that we need from Hashem. So it really would be inappropriate, and as Dov said, would dilute it, and would be diverting our attention from this very important task of thanking Hashem. Like if we were, again, thanking someone for doing something for us, so we thank someone for saving us from the fire, we say, but it really would have been nice if you carried me out of the burning house a little more comfortably. Right? That's really...
That's the definition of chutzpah.
Right, that's not hakarat, right, that's not hakarat hatov.
You know that one, right?
What's that?
About the kid who swept out into the waves and he's out in the ocean and the mother's screaming. And the guy goes and rescues him, and he comes in, he's choking and coughing, and she said, thanks, but you know, when he was swept out, he had a hat. You know?
Right. So it would really be, it would take...
I can tell it better if I get time.
It would take away from it, and it would really, and when dealing with Hashem, we want to make sure that we have our head on straight. We want to make sure that we're giving God his due, which is why the Gemara likens it to a servant who is standing before the master, praising the master, or the servant who is standing before the master, giving thanks to the master, the servant is going to make sure that he's, since the servant has been given that time to do that thing, whether it's praise or thanks, that they're doing it with full concentration. It's really almost like a matter of kavana. It's a matter of, when we talk about kavana and prayer, so now we're saying that kavana and prayer is not only about reading the words and being focused, it's about recognizing what modality of tefillah that we're in. And so we're in the modality of tefillah, of thanks. We shouldn't let our mind wander to request. We're going to have time for that. And we're in the modality of requests. We shouldn't be thanking Hashem. And when we're in the modality of thanking Hashem, we shouldn't be thinking of praising or thinking of asking. Right? We should be. That's what a new sort of definition of kavanah emerges from this Gemara. And that's all well and good. The problem is we don't follow the halacha. The Gemara seems to say something. We don't do it. Let's go back now into the source book. And we see the Rambam on page 6. Now this is from the second chapter of Hilchot Tefillah. We're jumping all over Rambam's Hilchot Tefillah here. Second chapter of Laws of Prayer, Halacha Yutet, rule number 19. Yesh Mikomot.
What page
are we at? 6. Yesh Mikomot. Shenahagu Lahosif Baseret Yamim Elu Bivracha Harishona Zachreinu Lechayim V'chulei. If you want to see this inside, look on page 109, right in the middle of the first three brachot, where the Gemara says we're not supposed to make requests. Zachreinu Lechayim Melech Hafetz B'chayim, remember us for life, O King who desires life. V'chasveinu B'sefer Achayim L'mancha Elohim Chayim. And write us in the book of life for your sake, O God of life. So the Gemara says it. The Rambam has said it already three times. And then he tells us, Yesh Mikomot, there are places that during the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add this. Uvashnia, turn the page in the middle of the second bracha. Micha mocha av harachamim, zocher yitzurav l'chayim barachamim. Who is like you, compassionate Father, who remembers his creatures in compassion for life?
That's praise.
Yeah, that's praise. But the first one is definitely request. V'chule, and v'hoda'ah. Right? When we're thanking God, go back to the end of the Amidah now. On page 131, we're in the middle of thanking Hashem. U'chitov l'chayim tovim kol b'nei b'ritecha. You should write all of your children of your covenant into the book of life. So there again, we're breaking both rules. We're breaking the rule at the beginning of the Amidah. And we're breaking the rule at the end of the Amidah.
Doesn't Sim Shalom also break the rule? You're asking God for something.
For the nation.
Well, yeah, but it's mainly, the main theme of that is, Kiva Or Panecha, Natata Lano Shem, Torah Tchayim, Yavat Chesed. Okay? V'chein Yesh Mokomot, Chenagu Losip, Aseret Yamim Elu, B'bracha Shlishit, U'v'chein Tein Patecha. This is not a custom that we follow. But he says sometimes, some people, even during the 10 days of repentance, also add the part of the Yom Kippur Amidah, right in the middle. Uvchein tein pachtecha, etc. Aval b'rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim minhag pashut u'losip bashlishit uvchein tein pachtecha. That's not really our concern at this point. Our concern is the beginning of the halacha, which seems to go against the explicit ruling of the Gemara, and the ruling of the Rambam too. Now the Rambam says, Yesh, right, what's the language he uses? Yesh Mikomot. There are places who do this. So the question, it's unclear, at least in this halacha, if the Rambam is in favor or opposed to this. He doesn't say he's opposed to it. He does just say it. Doesn't justify it.
Refer to the place in the tefillah or in the place in
no,
the country?
No, there are places in the world.
Okay.
There are communities that do this, right, is what the Rambam is trying to say. So how are we supposed to, what are we supposed to do about this? How are we supposed
starting
to make
to
heads or tails? What?
Starting
I believe everyone does this.
Yeah.
I believe everyone does this. Okay, so how are we supposed to make heads or tails of this? So, basically, one approach... well, first of all, there are some other questions that are raised about this. One approach, one question on this last thing is that some people say the last one that we just noted, the Sim Shalom one, is really not a problem because the Sim Shalom is already considered to be the end of the Shmona Esrei. And at the end of the Shmona Esrei, like we say in Elokai Netzur, which is on the next page, on 135, that's already not really considered the Amidah anymore, and you're allowed to make any type of request that you want. So some people want to extend backwards the notion that the end of the tefillah really ends with Sim Shalom. Others don't like that because Sim Shalom is not really the end of the bracha. It's the end of the Amidah. It really is still part of the Amidah. Rav Hai Gaon distinguishes between the first three brachot, where we're not allowed to add because those are praise, and the last three brachot that we are not allowed to add. And he begins to go down a road which answers the question. And that distinguishes between personal request and requests for the Jewish community in general. Mm-hmm. And that's a distinction that many of the authorities say. It's important to note that there are a number of Rishonim who are opposed to those additions. For example, the Meiri writes as follows. He says that we should say Zachreinu L'chaim. However, he says, Ve'ein maskirin Zachreinu b'shalosh rishonot u'b'shalosh achronot ela b'shnei yamim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah u'yom ha-kippurim b'vad. The Meiri says, and that's why the Rambam writes Yesh Mekomot, because apparently there are places that didn't do it. You should not add, right? They take the Gemara, I guess we should move back one step. There are some Rishonim that take the Gemara at face value. You're not allowed to add requests. And so the Meiri notes that during the year, even during the 10 days of repentance, we do not add these things in our Amidah. We only add them on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. And then it says, Va'af be'elu b'koshi hitiru. We don't even like doing that much. But maybe he's saying the stakes are so high in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. It's Yom HaDin, right? It's the day of judgment. It's the day when the books are being sealed. So we want to sneak it in. So we're going to sort of, with a blind eye, holding our nose, right? We're going to allow those things to be added on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but we're not going to allow them to be added during the rest of the year because they take this distinction of being... During the middle days, right? They take this distinction of being fully engaged in praise, only being fully engaged in praise, and only being fully engaged in thanks. So there are some, now it's widespread, but at least in the time of the Rishonim, it seems that there were some communities that did not add these things. Now we can move on to the answer, to the approach which is more widespread, which seems to answer the question. And this is found in a number of sources where they read the Gemara very carefully. Let's go back to the Gemara and read page one. Amar Rav Yehuda, Le'olam, Al Yishal Adam Tzirachav. What does the Gemara say? A person, an individual person. Now the problem is Adam usually means
man,
humanity. Ish means person, man. But Le'olam, but it says Tzirachav, his. It's in the singular. Le'olam al yishal adam Tzirachav. A person is not allowed to make their own personal requests in these first three brachot. And the commentary say, Shedavka tzarche yachid ein levakesh, aval tzarche rabim ne'emarim gam b'shalosh rishonot u b'shalosh acharonot. And the request may be made, request of the rabbim, of the community, may be made in the first three and may be made in the second three. And this is in fact what Tosafot says on the page that we were learning. And this is also the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush. Now, they offer a beautiful explanation. Why are communal requests allowed? Right? Unless you want to blow up our entire contention that when one's engaged in prayer, which is praise of Hashem, or one is engaged in prayer, which is thanks of Hashem, that we should be fully and only engaged in that, it still begs the question. It's still a request. Why, even if this is the proper reading of the Gemara, that the Gemara is allowing communal requests and only disallowing personal requests, why would the Gemara do that? Why would the Gemara say, I don't need to be fully engaged, my mind can wander, and sort of like the story that Dove said, I could say, thank you for saving my son who was drowning, but you know he had a hat when he was pulled out. Why is that appropriate? Anyone want to suggest why that? I'll give you the answer that's suggested in the commentaries, and maybe I'll hint at the answer by telling you that the commentaries in their answer, it's not at all blowing up those categories. It's suggesting that these type of requests still stay in the category, still are maintaining the very strict construction of the three parts of the Amidah.
Personal requests are?
Communal requests.
Communal requests are, yeah.
So what they say is that Tzarchi Tzibur themselves are praise, because what are we saying? When we make a communal request from God, we're not just, inherent in that is the praise that God, what? Is able to. Right? That in itself is a praise. When you thank someone, when you ask someone for something, you are saying, I know you can deliver.
But that's true for personal requests.
That's a good question, which I do not have an answer. The same thing seems to be true for personal requests.
It's a bigger request. You can handle everything rather than just one little.
Right. So it could be this idea that of just how far divine providence is going to go, and so. And it could be also that the themes are more communal in general.
There's something else here. I know something about it. When you say, write for the community, write us for life, you know very well people are going to die next year.
Right. Good. So what do you mean?
So it's almost as though there's a sense that even though people are going to die, God sustains.
Who?
The Jewish
people. Am Yisrael. Right, of course. Right.
So that's
exactly.
Kind of
a, it, by the way, the same thing happens on the Seder night. Just for this year, it hit me very strongly. At the Seder night, what we say, "Bechol dor v'ador om dimaleinu l'chalotenu, v'hakadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam." That's not true, right? Every year, every generation, the goyim rise up to kill us, and God saves us. That's not really true. People die all the time at the hands of goyim.
You discussed that at
the people are.
But I'm right. It doesn't mean me. It means Am Yisrael is La Netzach Netzachim, right? It means that the Jewish people are always going to be around, but individuals are going to succumb, right? And that goes back to the whole question of just how far or how personal divine providence is. Divine providence may not extend to each individual all the time.
So in effect, they're saying that this is a praise that God is always going to sustain the Jewish people.
Maybe the personal request doesn't really belong there.
Right.
Because that's not true.
That's right.
Right? To the personal request may have an ounce of untruth. So therefore it's not a praise. Right? So I praise Hashem only for the things which are for the community. I'll just point out one other thing before we read the end of the Shulchan Aruch. There are some Rishonim that want to clarify what's considered to be a personal praise. What's considered to be a communal praise, right? So we've already seen the Gemara distinguishes between, requests. The Gemara distinguishes between a personal request and a request for the community. Adding a communal request in these three parts, I mean the first three brachot or the second three brachot, is permitted. What rises to the level of communal request? Right, that seems to be an important question. Because once I've already established that I'm allowed to add communal requests in the first three brachot, And I'm allowed to add communal requests in the second brachot. But I'm not allowed to add anything that does not rise to the level of a communal request. Then it seems like it would be a good idea for me to define what is a communal request and what is not a communal request.
A minion is communal.
A minion.
It's from Avraham.
You think just if 10 people...
Stone.
If just if 10 people need something, then we could...
Yeah, 10 people okay. in the city who are righteous, and they are in the minion. That is a communal request.
Okay, so let me ask... I'll just take your example to its logical conclusion. Our shul has suffered a flood, and we can't afford a new roof. So I stand up in the morning before Shacharis. I say, I want everyone in the middle of the first bracha to ask Hashem that we find a way to have a new roof.
You think we have that much kavana?
No, I'm asking. I mean, that's the logical conclusion of your suggestion, right? Our community, more than a minion, needs a new roof. And so I'm going to now, in the middle of the first three brachot, where I'm not allowed to make personal requests, but I'm only allowed to make what the Rishonim say, Tzarchei Tzibur. Would you accept that, or would you say the rabbis lost it?
It's a community as opposed to Am Yisrael.
Exactly.
Versus minion versus one person.
What do you think? Are you retracting, or are you going to stick with the logical conclusion of your idea?
I'll retract.
You retract. Okay.
I don't think we have that much kavana.
So it's, but if we did, it'd be okay.
I want to see this. I want to feel the kavana.
Okay. So according to the Meiri, who we mentioned before, he points out that Tzarchei Tzibur are only those things shel kol ha'uma. Exactly as Tanya Renee said. These are national needs. These are not the needs of my roof, as holy as our congregation is. Right? That does not rise to the level of Tzarchei Tzibur. That's why I say, Zachreinu l'chaim. We ask, and that's why, as Dov said before, what are we asking for? We're asking for the nation of Israel to survive. Zachreinu l'chaim. We're asking for Am Yisrael to allow the nation of Israel to survive. And that's exactly what the Meiri says. Kigon, Zachreinu, L'chaim, and things like that. But when there is a tzara on only part of the tzibur, then those requests are reserved for what part of the Amidah?
In the middle.
Only the middle. Yeah. It's not that there's no room for them, God forbid, right? It's not that we're not allowed to make those requests. But those requests only belong in the middle. The only time we're allowed to blow up the categories of prayer is when there's a national need. Now that's interesting because there are poskim who consider the needs of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, even if they don't represent the majority of Am Yisrael, right? The Jews in Israel who may not be the majority of the Jewish people, some authorities say that represents a national need, which would then make this, on a practical level, that would be an interesting question. Now, generally speaking, whenever there's, let's say, a drought in Israel, we don't add the request for rain in Israel in the first three brachot or in the second three brachot. We add it somewhere, right, in the middle of brachot. But you could make an argument, based on what we've seen, that maybe you could put it into the first three brachot if it's a national need. We don't do that, but that seems to be the sort of play that's going on here.
Why don't we do that? Try not to do a hierarchy of Israel. Israelis in the land of Israel are more important than the rest.
I don't know. Maybe we don't. Maybe
falls. Where are the rest of us?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we don't want to go down that road of judging. What's more important? But I'm not sure why we don't. There's other things that we do, Ed. Right? There are these things called krovats or krovot. Some people say the word krovats is not correct word. It's like a piyut, a liturgical poem. So those are added in lots of communities in the first three and the last three as well. Krovats is something specifically done during the repetition of the Amidah, not during the silent Amidah. And so there are other examples of things that have been added. So maybe we do. But for some reason, the example I gave about the drought, contemporary rabbis suggest that we add it only in the middle section. Let's just look at the Shulchan Aruch just for closure so we can see how the practical ruling is. The back page, page 8. A person should not ask for his needs in the first three blessings or in the final three blessings of the 18 blessing prayer. This is the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Yud Bet, 112. However, it is only forbidden then to ask for an individual's need, but one is allowed to ask for congregational needs. So we see that the Shulchan Aruch follows that line of those Rishonim, starting with Tosfot and others, and not the Me'iri. Right? The Me'iri noted that you should not do this, but you should only do these things in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and even that he only allowed with difficulty, sort of holding his nose. But we seem to follow the other line of Rishonim. One should not say piyutim or krovetz. Krovetz, prayer to the blessing Yotzer Or. There are commentaries who say that krovetz is an acronym of the verse Kol Rinav Yoshua Baalei Tzadikim. Some people think that's wrong, and it shouldn't be called the krovetz. There is the sound of rejoicing and salvation in the tent of the righteous in the prayer service. There are authorities who permit saying them, since the needs of the many are involved. This is what I just mentioned a moment ago. It is, in fact, a practice everywhere to say them. Let's just look at the Mishnah Brewer's commentary on this. The arrow below number one, where it says number one, should not ask. This is because the saying of the first three blessings is comparable to a slave setting out praise before his master. The saying of the middle blessings is comparable to the slave asking a grant of his master. The saying of the final three blessings is comparable to a slave who has received a grant from his master, passing him and going, praising him and going away. In view of the fact that the first three blessings involve setting out praise, it follows that it is improper to ask for one's need in them. This applies correspondingly to the final three blessings, and for the reason we said. It would seem like it would be diluting our praise, or it would be diluting our thanksgiving if we would stop in the middle and do these things.
Rabbi, do we follow the... We do allow congregational requests for congregational blessings in the last three?
I would say that we follow... We do allow it, but we wouldn't... It seems like even if a new one would arise nowadays, we wouldn't add it to the first two or the first three or the last three. We would stick it in the middle. But what we're saying is we follow this in the sense that the ones that are traditionally said during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are requests in the middle of the first three and the middle of the second three, those we do continue to say.
But the roof example would not be one.
The roof example would not be one because that, for two reasons. That's not the whole nation. And it seems like for any new need, even if it would affect the whole nation, we would still put it in the middle, which is the thing which... question which Tanya Renee raised earlier. It seems like if one would identify an absolute national need, that there would be justification to move it into the first three. But we still don't do that. Even when there's a serious drought in Israel, maybe we don't consider that serious enough. Maybe if there was some real like existential threat to the state of Israel, we would move it into the first three. I don't think we would, but it seems like what we've learned... It certainly would be justified to do that, but it just historically we haven't.
See, there are three brachot for the hodah, for the thanksgiving, but there's only two brachot Hashem.
Right, we have. Let's see. One second here. Right, so we have.
At least in the categories, yeah.
The Techazena on the previous page, Hamachazir Shechina Tolison, who restores his presence to Zion, is praise.
But that's part of Betzei, right?
It's not really. It's not necessary. It dances between both.
Techazena would be the first one.
Right, and then V'chol HaChayim on 131, and Sim Shalom. And then you have 13 in the middle. We count the 13 middle brachot, starting on page 115. Knowledge, repentance, forgiveness, redemption, healing, prosperity, ingathering of exiles, justice, against reformers, the righteous, rebuilding Jerusalem, kingdom of David, response to prayer. There's a 13. Then you have the first three making 16, and the last three making 19. And that's why, you know, our Shemona Esrei, which means 18, is really 19. So that's the breakdown. Okay, so there it is. It's this shiur follows from last week's, where we discussed inappropriate additions to the tefillah. This is another example of an inappropriate addition, a private request in the first three brachot or the last three brachot of the Amidah would be considered to be an inappropriate addition. But a communal, national request in the first three or last three is not considered to be an inappropriate addition. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day. Yeah.